It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, today all hearts that pulse to romance are celebrating St. Valentine's Day. And that includes Chester A. Riley's big, roomy heart. And now let's peek inside of Riley's big, roomy head.
This is the day of St. Valentine, a day for love and romance, when Cupid's darts pierce millions of hearts, but I got one in the pants.
And why does Riley have this bitter attitude? Well, it all started yesterday.
Hurry up, Dumplin'. Let's get home. I'm starved.
Now, wait a minute. I got to stop in here and get some lamb chops.
Yeah. Well, hey, what are you going at the Browns for? You always shop at Pringles.
Well, yes, I know, but I'm so embarrassed every time I go in there. We owe Mr. Pringle $18.
What? $18? Peg, why don't you pay the man his money?
Well, why don't you give me the money?
Why drag money into this? We're talking about lamb chops.
Oh, Riley, we'll have to do something about that, Billy. It's 2 months old.
Oh, so what? Has he asked you for the money?
Well, no.
Good. Then we can still give him the business. After all, he's my lodge brother, and he promised to vote for me for president.
I'd rather go to Brown.
No. That will be double-crossing Pringle. Wait till after I'm elected. Then I can double-cross him.
All right, but I really don't like the way that man treats his customers. Well, you'd think we were getting this stuff for nothing.
This month we are. Here's the store.
Well, aren't you coming in?
No. I'll stay out here. If he asks you for the money we owe him, you can say that I'm out of town.
All right. Wait here for me.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Pringle.
Hello, Mrs. Riley. What can I do for you?
Well, I want some lamb chops, but first I need some vegetables. I'll take a bunch of celery and some carrots. Well, let's see. These tomatoes don't look...
Please, Mrs. Riley, don't squeeze the tomatoes.
But, Mr. Pringle, I wasn't squeezing.
I know. You just wanted to see if they're soft.
But I...
Believe me, they're soft. You know why? Because every woman who comes in here squeezes them.
Now, listen, Mr. Pringle...
They're like that Mrs. Gillis who lives next door to you. She ain't only a tomato squeezer. She's a grape snatcher.
What Mrs. Gillis does has nothing to do with me.
Oh, you're all alike.
I did not touch your tomatoes, Mr. Pringle.
All right. I'm not Dick Tracy, so I can't prove your fingerprints are there.
I did not touch your tomatoes.
Okay. You didn't touch the tomatoes. I'm not calling you a liar.
What? You have the nerve to stand there and call me?
I didn't call you a liar.
Riley, come in here.
Peg, quiet. I'm out of town.
You come in here.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Riley, I was just insulted by Mr. Pringle.
You were insulted?
Well, don't just stand there. Say something.
Hi, Brother Pringle.
Hi.
Speaking of the election at our lodge...
Did you hear me? What, this man deliberately...
I didn't insult you, Mrs. Riley.
Wait. What's the sense of fighting? I'm sure we can settle this friendly-like. What's the trouble, Peg?
He accused me of squeezing the tomatoes, and Pringle, I told him...
Did you accuse my wife of squeezing the tomatoes?
Yes.
Peg, you shouldn't have squeezed the tomatoes.
Chester Riley, are you going
to be reasonable, Peg? After all, if you were a tomato, you wouldn't like me to squeeze you. Of course, you're not a tomato, so you like it. So why can't we all be friends?
Well, of all
Oh, Peg, wait. Hey, Peg, wait for me. But, Peg, be reasonable. After all, Pringle is my life.
I don't want to hear any more of your excuses. All I know is a man insulted your wife and you just stood there.
Well, what did you expect me to do? Punch him in the nose? What would that accomplish? You'd only have had to carry me home.
I mean...
Fighting don't get you anywhere, Peggy.
But you had no right to take his side against me.
I don't like no fights. What I've done was right. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt you.
Hi, Pop. Hi, Mom.
Now, see here,
Ryan. Now, we'll leave it up to Junior. Junior, suppose a very good friend of yours insulted your mother. What would you do?
Well, I'd punch him right in the nose.
Who asked you?
Well, next time I go shopping, I'll take Junior.
I still say I've done the right thing.
Mother, is dinner ready?
Yes, dear, it's on the table.
Well, all I see is a dish of beans. Where's dinner?
That's it.
Beans? You expect me to eat beans? I gotta have vitamins. Remember, I'm a grown man.
Oh, sit down and eat beans, won't kill you.
No, never mind me. I can take it, but what about the kids? There. Junior, are you satisfied to eat beans for supper?
Sure.
It's okay with me.
Who asked you? Now listen, Peg, I work hard all day and I gotta have meat to give me blood. If you don't care for me, at least have a little consideration for my corpse up there. What happened to the lamb chops?
They're still at Pringles, thanks to you.
Now, don't try to put the blame on me. You got to feed me proper. That's your job, see?
Now, just a minute, Mr. Riley.
I live in this house, and you owe it to me. You owe me plenty. And if I don't get a good, substantial dinner tonight, you know what I'll do?
What?
Oh.
You go without eating?
Who asked you?
Lanny, over here at the counter.
Huh? Oh, hello, Gillis. You eating out tonight?
Yeah. You too?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah, had a little argument with the missus. Imagine, I come home starving. She offers me beans for supper. Boy, I sure told her off. You know what I said?
How should I know? I ain't the kind of a guy goes around snooping on his next-door neighbor.
Boy, I gave her to her good.
You were right. She ought to have more consideration for your corpuscles.
Gillis, you heard.
Well, yeah, but only because your argument was almost weight for weight like the one I was having with my missus.
No kidding. Honeybee give you beans, too?
Yeah. Tried to blame it on Pringle, the grocer.
Yeah, so did my Peg.
How about that? All them married women got a single mind. Always trying to take advantage of us.
Yeah, and we're the guys they owe the most to.
Beans we get for supper. That's marriage? Who needs it? I had $2 laying in a hole in my pocket, so I had to go spend it for a marriage license. I should have listened to my bookie and put the $2 on a horse. That nag would have paid off. Well, let's order. Come on, ain't you going to sit down?
Well, I don't know, Gillis. I never walked out on Peg like this. I was thinking maybe...
Randy, if you go crawling back to her now, you're sunk. Every time you'll have a little tip with her, and she don't feel like making supper,
bingo, you get beans. Yeah, I know, Gillis, but what can I do?
Why be a beanbag? Do what our wives is doing. They went on strike, we got a strike.
Strike?
Yeah, strike with a hot iron. Get tough with them. No more of this here lovey-dovey sweetheart business.
Yeah, no more sweethearts. We won't even be friends. Just plain husband and wife. And Saturday, they ain't even getting no Valentine's from us.
That's a deal. Shake. We'll teach them to give us beans for supper, the ungrates.
Oh, here's the waiter. Let's see.
Well, gents, what'll it be?
Well, let's see the menu. Chicken, pork chops, sirloin steak. Oh, this sounds good. Give me a plate of beans.
Make that too.
Hello,
Dad.
Yeah, hello, Dad.
Hello.
Hello, Junior.
Hi, Pop.
Hello, Peg. Peg, I said hello. Peg. Now, look here, Peg. When I say... Peg, don't walk away when I'm talking to you. Now, listen, Peg. Peg, stop it. You're my wife, not the walking man. Huh. Okay, if that's the way you want it, I ain't going to beg you. You don't want to talk to me? Okay. Who can play at that game? Don't talk. Peg, talk to me.
Would you hand me that cushion over there, please?
Oh, here, Mother.
Oh, or you're going to ignore me, huh? Well, two can play at that game. I'll ignore you. I can be just as ignorant as you. If not more. Happy days are here again. Thank God to me.
Well, aren't you the brazen one? After the way you put on at the supper table tonight, you expect me to pass it off as if nothing happened. Well, it'll be a long time before I talk to you.
I made her talk. But I didn't like what she said. She said she'll never talk to me again.
Well, Mother's sensitive, but she'll get over it. Maybe you ought to apologize.
Well, yeah, only she won't listen to me.
Hey, Pop, maybe you ought to send Mom a swell Valentine. That'd square things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I could find a special Valentine. I'll do it. Gillis can't run my life.
What's Mr. Gillis got to do with it?
Well, you see, we made a pact.
A pact?
Yeah, you know, like diplomats make. Only I promised I wouldn't... But I don't care. If I can make a pact like a diplomat... I can break it like a diplomat.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Riley.
Oh, hello, Mr. Witherspoon. Say, I'm in the market for a Valentine card.
Well, we've got a nice line of cards this year, right over here. Something for your wife, or would you like something more expensive?
No, it's for my wife. I want something really gorgeous. Money's no object.
Well, here's a fine card. 15 cents.
Ain't that a little high? Let's see. No, that's the usual stuff. I want something special. You see, we had a little tiff.
I see. I think I have just the card for you.
Huh.
Wonderful for patching up a stack. Yes. Some customers buy one a week regularly. And now, let's see, where is it now?
Well, if you can't find it, maybe you got something else.
Oh, this card will be just what you want.
Yeah.
Let me see, it goes, oh, yes, we quarreled, loving spouse of mine. Forgive me, I was wrong. So won't you be my Valentine and recapture love's sweet song?
Oh, that's beautiful. You've got to find...
Oh, I'll find it. It was the last one in stock. I had it here a moment ago. Oh, I remember now. I was showing it to another customer. Oh, there he is, in the phone booth.
Oh, well, I got to have that card. I'll buy it from him. Pardon me, sir. That Valentine... Gillis. Is this the way you keep a pact? Is this the way you keep a pact? I asked you first. Sending your wife a Valentine, you traitor.
Well, sure. I come in to get her a Valentine, but not a mushy one. One of them nasty comic ones.
Oh, yeah. What about that Valentine you got in your hand there?
Oh, this.
Yeah, look what it says. Loving spouse of mine. Well?
I'm sending this to a friend's wife. I'm a rat.
Oh, I apologize.
What about you, Riley? You wanted this here mushy card, didn't you?
Well,
you're going to go crawling to Peg, you coward.
Well, who's crawling? I'll show you. Witherspoon, let me see your nastiest Valentines.
Here they are. Yeah. I like to keep them handy. There's more demand for this kind.
Oh, well, go on, Gillis. Pick yours.
Pick yours.
Now, here's a very witty card, gentlemen. Listen. You've got the head of a wizard cabbage and the eyes of a lumpy potato. And though you get on your knees, I wouldn't give you a squeeze, cause you're only an old tomato. Oh, that's delightful, isn't it?
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah, it's a scream.
Well, here you are, gentlemen. One for each of you. That'll be 10 cents.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I'll mail this when I get home.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, there's a mailbox right outside the store.
Trapped. Eh, what are we worrying about, Riley? This is one of the smartest moves we ever made.
Yeah.
We sign these cards right now. And just to make sure, we'll watch each other drop them in the mailbox.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to go through with it.
And when our wives get these cards, it'll change our whole married life.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Riley? You don't sound so happy about it.
Oh, no. I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm the happiest man in the world.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
Oh, Ken, the new look is the Prel look.
Of course, Prel, the radiant cream shampoo with a handy tube, gives that new look for two reasons.
First, it's Prel for that new look of radiance. Because Prel leaves hair far more radiant than old-fashioned soaps or soap shampoos. And Prel can't leave a dulling soap film. Prel leaves your hair looking soft, smooth, easy to manage.
Second, it's Prel for hair free of unsightly dandruff, too. Yes, Prel removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes.
And that handy Prel tube has the new look, too. No old-fashioned bottles, no waste, no spill. Oh, Prel's easy to use.
Remember, the new look is the Prel look. Try Procter & Gamble's
P-R-E-L-L Prel Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L Prel Shampoo.
By Prel. And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Good morning, Daddy.
Babs, did the postman come? Did he come yet? Where's your mother? Did the postman come?
I don't know. What are you so nervous about?
Well, who's nervous? I just asked you that the coachman come. And you said, I'm nervous.
Well, you certainly are nervous. Look what you're doing.
Well, what am I doing? I'm just filling my pipe.
But you're doing it from the sugar bowl.
Oh, yeah. Well, tobacco ain't good for you.
Pop, here's the mail.
The mail. It came. Well, why didn't you tell me? Where's your mother?
I'm in the back. What are you so nervous about?
I told you I'm not nervous, and I'm telling you that for the last time, Babs.
Pop, I'm Junior.
I'm pleased to meet you. Let me go through this mail.
Oh, Daddy, what are you expecting that's so important?
Oh, it ain't here. Nothing but bills. It ain't here.
What?
The Valentine. I mailed your mother one last night. And
is that not why you're anxious? Oh, what? Daddy, you're acting just like a schoolboy in love. Isn't he, Junior?
Oh, go on. I never carry on like that.
Relax, Daddy. It'll come in the afternoon mail for sure.
Oh, Pop, here's a letter you missed. It doesn't look like a bill.
Yeah, well, let me see. It must be a bill. Who else would write it? But it's a Valentine.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, who'd send me a Valentine? We quarreled, loving spouse of mine, but I was in the wrong, so won't you be my Valentine? And recapture love's sweet song. It's signed Dumplin.
It's the mother. I told you she'd get over being mad.
She sent me this beautiful Valentine, and I sent her that. She forgave me. She still loves me.
Well, of course.
What a revolting development this is. Oh, what a mess. When Peg gets that Valentine, she'll murder me. I might as well phone up the Undertaker right now to come and get me.
Save your nickel. I'm here.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly Undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
I'm on my way to the telegraph office to wire a Valentine to my very rich Aunt Hepzibah.
Huh?
She lives in far-off Australia. I wrote it myself, and I quote, "Dear Rich Auntie, with this card I hail you. I hope to visit you soon in Australia. When I let you go away, I made a blunder. I'll never smile again till I see you down under." Cute?
Yeah, but I ain't in the mood for Valentine's, Digger. I'm in big trouble on account of one.
Oh, yes. The Valentine once got me into a horrible predicament. Uh-huh. I was courting a young lady. On Valentine's Day, I ordered the florist to send her 3 gardenias with a card saying, "When I see you wearing these, I'll know you belong to me." And that broke off our engagement.
For what?
Instead of gardenias, the florist sent her lilies. But what's troubling you, Riley?
Well, Peg and me had an argument on account of Pringles, the grocer, and, well, to get even, I sent Peg a nasty Valentine.
Dear me, you are in a hole.
Yeah, well, I got pushed into it.
Sloppy technique. Someone forever getting pushed into a hole, and I'm supposed to pull them out. Tell me, did you sign this card?
No, but you know it's from me anyway. Just a burner-up I signed from the one you owe so much to. Oh, I'm cooked.
Cheer up. Where there's, if you'll excuse the expression, life, there's hope. Perhaps you'll never receive the insulting card.
Why not?
It might go to the dead letter office. That's where lots of my mail ends up.
No, I addressed it perfectly.
Then your only chance is to intercept the Valentine from the postman before your wife gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'll do it, Digger. If I don't, I'm a goner.
Oops, that reminds me I have an appointment. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
I wish that postman would hurry up and come. I can't
stand... Hi, Pop.
Oh, hello, Junior.
You're home early.
Yeah.
Aren't you coming in the house?
No, not yet. I'll stay out here for a while. I want to get a little sun.
Sun? Mm. Why, Bob, it's raining. You're dripping wet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought I was perspiring from the sun.
Pop, are you sick or something?
Junior, stop asking questions and go in the house.
Oh, here comes the postman. I'll take the mail.
Take the mail in. Go in the house. Keep your mother company. Tie her up. I mean... keep her company, Junior.
Okay.
Hello there, Mr. Hannigan.
Oh, thank heaven you came, Mr. Hannigan. I was waiting for you.
Nothing for you this afternoon, I'm afraid. But I've got something for your wife. Looks like a Valentine.
Yeah. Well, where is it?
Let me see now. I saw it here a moment ago.
You lost it. Oh, wonderful.
No. Here it is.
Well, give it to me.
There's 2 cents postage due. The sender put a 1-cent stamp on it, but the envelope was
okay,
sealed.
Okay, I'll give you the 2 cents. Wait a minute, I got some pennies here.
Riley, oh, hello, Mr. Postman.
There's your peg.
Oh, what's wrong?
Nothing wrong, Mrs. Riley. There's a Valentine card for you.
For me?
Yes, but there's 2 cents posted due. Mr. Riley was about to pay me.
I'll do no such thing.
What?
You ain't getting no money out of me. You can keep the letter. We don't want it.
What? Riley, don't be ridiculous.
Mr. Riley, it's only 2 cents.
It's the principal. You guys in Washington can't push me around. I'm a taxpayer.
But 2 cents?
You're never satisfied. You just got $28 billion out of me for your budget.
But I didn't do
that. Now you want to squeeze 2 cents more.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I'll give you the 2 cents, Mr. Postman.
I forbid it.
Oh, dear. Haven't got any change.
Well, in that case, I'm afraid maybe I'm just an old softy about Valentine's, but love must go on. I'll pay it.
No, wait.
There you are, Mrs. Riley.
You ain't getting away with this, Hannigan. I'm taking all my business to another post office.
Oh, stop, Riley. Thank you, Mr. Postman.
Don't mention it. It's deductible. Good day.
Oh, honest, Riley. Sometimes I just can't figure... What's this? You got the head of a wilted cabbage and the eyes of a lumpy potato.
That's very funny.
So you got on your knees, I wouldn't give you a squeeze. Because you're only an old tomato.
There's an echo here.
Of all the mean insults.
Well, now, Peg, it's not that bad.
Why, this is the lowest, the most contemptuous.
It's just a joke, Dumplin'. Where's your sense of humor?
A joke? You call this a joke? Insulting your wife like this.
I know, but forgive and forget.
I'll never forget the beast who sent this.
Well, now, that's going too far. After all, a beast
well,
like...
Well, that's what he is, a beast. And I'll tell that Pringle so right to his face.
But, Peg, I... Pringle?
Oh, who else do you think sent it? Look how he signed it. From the one you owe so much to. It's that Grocer. It couldn't be anybody else.
Peg, you're right. What a beast. He'll pay for this insult. I'll punch him right in the nose.
That's your wonderful lodge brother.
You're right, Peg. You're right. I'll fix him.
Well, I'm going in.
Yeah. Pringle. She thinks Pringle says it. What a gorgeous development this is.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. Good news in shampoos. That's Prel, the new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. From Rockford, Illinois, Mrs. A.J. Stebbins writes,
since I use Prel, all my friends compliment me on my hair. Regular Prel shampoos keep it free of unsightly dandruff. Bring out more radiance than I ever knew was there.
Friends, treat yourself to a Prel shampoo. See if you don't agree. Prel removes unsightly dandruff quickly. Leaves hair radiantly beautiful. Ask for Procter & Gamble's
P-R-E-L-L Pearl Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L Pearl Shampoo.
What a day.
Mother, did you tell that grocer off?
Babs, Mr. Pringle didn't send that valentine. Your father did.
Daddy?
Oh, well, he didn't mean anything by it. That Gillis must have talked him into it. Mrs. Gillis got exactly the same card.
Peg!
Now, don't say anything.
Oh, there you are, Peg. Peg, guess where I just was? Over at Pringle's. And I fixed him good. They're scraping him off the floor.
Oh, Riley, my hero.
I did it for you, Dumplin'. Boy, I gave it to him good. A left and a right and a left and a... Of course, he got in one punch on my nose, but that's all. You see, I still got a little blood on my lip here.
Mm, yes, I see. Mm. Now wipe that ketchup off your lip and sit down and eat.
Certainly, my Valentine, anything you say.
Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp and Alan Lipscott. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker.
The prima donna with always a man in tow. She washed all the finery on her with wonderful ivory snow.
Ah, wonderful ivory snow, a regular beauty bath for blouses, lingerie, and sheer nylons. And your hands will tell you why ivory snow keeps lovely washables lovely longer. Prove it. This week, wash dishes with ivory snow. When you see how it pampers your hands, you'll know it's extra kind of fine fabrics. There's no other soap like it. Ivory Snow is the only soap, both ivory mild and in granulated form. Make suds instantly in lukewarm, even in cool water. Your hands will tell you why. Ivory snow is so kind to your hands, you just know it's kind to sheer nylons and lovely lingerie.
Oh, wonderful ivory snow.
S-N-O-W. This is Ken Niles reminding you that for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo. And listen again next week when Prell brings you The Life of Riley. And now stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.